afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. Do you know that 3 weeks from now, we'll see what happens after the election?
Yes, we will.
Three weeks, not months. Weeks.
Oh, thank gosh. It can't come soon enough. It's the only time I want time to speed up.
Well, you know, time is going by very quickly, and I don't know what's going to lead us into necessarily, but wherever we're going to, we're getting there fast.
We are. And I don't know how to slow it down, if there's a way to slow it down, but... Well, I figured, you know, if I sat in a dentist chair for 24/7, that would probably slow down.
or sit in a hospital. That slows down there too.
If you're allowed in anymore, but
exactly, yes.
And we have a good day in gold today. New York spot price after market up 6:30 right now at 1908. It was had a tough going this morning, but a nice turnaround. Silver's up a penny at 24.38, and had a big reversal. We had a low of 23.57, so nice rebound for silver. Platinum was up $2 at 868, and we're showing palladium, no changes today at 2400. But we're in the aftermarket, so the USDX today is 93.82, up 0.43. So that really is a good showing for gold today, with the dollar index being up that much, 0.43. It's still at 93.82, but so I don't know if we'll see some pressure on gold tomorrow. I guess it'll depend on how it follows through. But again, all of these markets are so crazy and wacky. I mean, none of them are really running together. They each have created their own trend lines and so forth, and it's really hard to really connect the dots to see, you know, but the momentum is there for gold and silver, and that we do know. The momentum is there for inflation. The momentum is there for a lower dollar. So, we report these numbers on a day-to-day basis just to kind of get us an idea of where we're headed and so forth, any shocks to the system, and but really, the fundamentals haven't changed, and we certainly have a lot more upside in the physical metals than the paper investments do. You know, it's all to the downside for the paper investments. So let me go ahead and see what those paper investments did today. You had the Dow; it was down a couple hundred points too, and that came back down 20. At 28,494 for the Dow. The NASDAQ was down 54 points at 11,718. The S&P was down 5, 3,483. 10-year yield, 0.73%. Now, Hong Kong was down over 2%. Germany was down 2.5%. London was down 1.75%. So they had some pretty big drops overseas. We started to head that way, but, you know, our good old, the plunge protection team is probably out of date anymore, because you just had the Federal Reserve in there just taking over, you know, with government and so forth. But I guess a combination of both the Federal Reserve and the plunge protection team probably worked today to... change things around, but
I won't cut in here. But the Fed is keeping some states running now too, like Illinois. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
You know, I mean, yeah. They had their hand in the pie everywhere, even to the point they loan money to keep the states open. Now, that's when I say that it sounds absurd, but to keep the states open, the Federal Reserve's involved in this. The Fed.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. We know the weekly unemployment claims, a report for the Labor Department today, showed at least 25 million were on jobless benefits at the end of September. It reinforced views the economy's recovery from the recession that started in February was slowing, and an urgent need of another government rescue package. the economic hardship that we've seen. Of course, it's a huge... it is a little bit of a hurdle for President Trump getting his second term into the White House. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FHN in New York, he says the increase in initial claims is disturbing. It is difficult to see it and not think the recovery is vulnerable. We never had a recovery. We had a rebound. We never had a recovery. Initial claims for the state unemployment benefits increased 53,000 to a seasonally adjusted 898,000 for the week ending October 10th. Data for the prior week was revised to show 5,000 more applications received than previously reported. Economists was polled by Reuters. They had forecast 825,000 applications in the latest week. So the surprise increase came even as California processes no claims. The largest state and they process no claims. California, the most populous state, suspended the processing of new applications for 2 weeks in late September to combat fraud. You know, it did resume accepting claims last Monday, but it's just really amazing. So, again, jobs, pressure, it's not happening, folks. It's not happening.
No, it's not.
And, you know, I mean, they're beginning to have reports on various industries and, you know, you're beginning to hear these little stories that are being leaked out about the numbers that are being affected and the numbers of businesses being shut down and how the impact is beginning to be felt on Main Street. And, Main Street is not Wall Street. So
they don't connect. They don't connect anymore.
No.
I mean, an article here that 32 million Americans are below the poverty level right now. 8 million added since May below poverty. And with counting job losses and taxation, the burden they're carrying now is 70%, 7% burden of, we'll say, the benefits have been slashed and taxation has gotten down to 70% of income. So they can't carry it. They lost 70% of their income with all those cuts and taxes added to it. So 32 million people are now in poverty level. Folks, that's a lot of families, a lot of people who are below poverty. And I don't know what to say, Melody, because by the grace of God, you and I are not the ones having to worry about paying their bills right now. We're blessed. But a lot of these people out there who are trying to live in this time, this day and time, are struggling just to put food on the table, much less to pay for the car and their phone bills and power bills. They're just trying to get food on the table.
I know that. And, you were talking about those in, that are locked into poverty. And, you know, I have an article here about the U.S. tax policy. You mentioned that briefly,
Yes.
You know, 70%, about a quarter of lower income workers effectively face marginal tax rates of more than 70% when adjusted for the loss of government benefits. A study.
Yes.
Yeah. That means for every $1,000 gained in income, $700 goes to the government in taxes or reduced spending. In some cases, there are no gains at all. And poor families that rely on Medicaid, welfare payments, food stamps, housing vouchers, tax credits that are based on family incomes, small increases in wages can bring big losses of benefits, reinforcing a negative cycle.
That's
in
true.
Which workers aren't rewarded if they improve their skills. Again, government programs keep people under their boots.
That's the idea. That's the whole idea.
It is. You know, they can't get out.
You just obey us.
Yeah, they want to work. I mean, some do, some don't, but many do. But they lose. They can't get ahead. This is a perverse incentive that says you shouldn't try to make yourself better.
For how many years have we had people that either got divorced or didn't get married because they got more money singly, or they had children to have more money coming in. How does that fix things? You know, you pay them to shack up together, so to speak, and have children. How does that fix a society when you pay people to do wrong?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. But
it does. Yeah.
They've been that way for years.
You know, so these programs do need to be changed, not eliminated, but they need to be changed. I mean, need to make these people, you know, work and become part of society again. You know,
make
change the
while.
Incentives.
Make it worth their while.
You know? And again, you said, 34 million Americans live below the poverty line. This is America.
Yeah. That's 10% of the population, Melody.
It is.
That's so
and
sad.
Now we have how many more millions? I don't know how the number of people out of work is reflected in that 34, but that was last year. That was before the crisis. So that number might double.
8 million added on since May.
Oh, 8 million, yeah.
Yeah, added on since May. So that's a huge number of people that are struggling just to put food on the table, clothes on the children's back. I've never, by the grace of God, ever went hungry in my life unless I wanted to. Well, growing up as a young boy in Monterville, West Virginia, Dad worked hard. He didn't make a lot of money. We always had food on the table. Maybe it wasn't anything fancy, you know, brown beans and cornbread or something. We always had food and a place to sleep. So you and I as a people, as a whole, have never experienced poverty in the way that we're seeing off today. We never had to go to bed without something in our stomachs and a warm bed to get in. And a lot of people cannot say that now. And wintertime's
coming.
But
you know what the funny thing is, though, Butch? I mean, my family, my grandparents were poor. We didn't know they were poor.
No. We had outhouses.
We didn't have
bathrooms, you know?
We did, too. And my grandparents did. I mean, my parents, we had bathrooms. You know, my parents had bathrooms. My grandparents, I mean.
We didn't.
There's pictures. My cousin that lives down here, the reason I moved to Maryland in this area, he has pictures of when we were little kids. And there was the outhouse.
Yep.
And, you know, pictures of, you know, him going to the bathroom and we're standing there protecting him and so forth. You know, it's a big joke in the family. But
it's true.
That was how we had our fun.
That's how we done it. Well, you know, we had a one whole bathroom, and I always thought people that had two or three whole bathrooms are wealthy people because all we could afford is one whole. And I'm serious. That's what I thought as a young boy. You know, and in the wintertime, you didn't spend a lot of time in the bathroom because it was cold outside. So, that's how we grew up. But we always had a place to sleep and something to eat.
Yep.
And it's different.
And we ate good.
We did.
We didn't eat hamburger.
No.
We rarely had hamburger. The only time we started eating hamburger was when McDonald's came to town.
We raised our own meat. We had our own chickens, of course, and we had a big garden. We had plenty to eat. We were not rich by any means as far as material wealth goes.
But we ate good. We ate good.
And today, because people live out of stores, now they can't afford to buy groceries.
Yeah.
You know, if Kroger's or Food Lion, somebody doesn't have it, they don't get it. They're not producing anything for themselves. We become dependent upon, and I'm as good as anybody else. I raise a little garden here, and I'm okay. But we as a people, as a nation, have become dependent on somebody else to put food on the shelves for us. If our food chain's broken, then no matter how much money you got, you still can't get it because it's not there. If you don't have the money, you can't buy it anyway, and the food prices get higher and higher. So we've lost our independence, so therefore we become more controllable by outside forces because we can no longer feed and clothe ourselves. Now that's just the way it is. And the Bible says there's a curse on people that get in that shape, and we see it happening right now. We see it happening. Anyway, I'll shut up and you say something now.
Oh, thank you. Well, the G20 pledges to do whatever it takes to support the global economy, and they agree in principle and debt restructuring framework. Financial leaders from the group of 20 major economies yesterday underscored the urgent need to bring the spread of the pandemic under control, and they vowed to do whatever it takes. Ching-ching, cha-ching, gold prices going higher to support the global economy and financial stability. In a lengthy communique. G20 finance ministers and central bank governors also agreed in principle for the first time on a common framework to deal on a case-by-case basis with the rising number of low-income countries facing debt distress. The move marks a significant step forward for China. We talked a little bit about this last week, or earlier this week, which has become a major creditor to poor countries in recent years, but balked at the prospect of writing off any debts. The G20 officials also agreed, as expected, to extend by 6 months the Debt Service Suspension Initiative, the DSSI, that freezes official bilateral debt payments until the year end. They would consider another 6 months extension in April, but they're just considering it. So, again, this goes to show you the Steven Mnuchin, our U.S. Treasury Secretary, urged G20 members to quickly endorse the framework, saying it would ease debt write-downs when needed, help promote debt sustainability, and support policy frames reforms. Mnuchin, in a statement to the IMF Steering Committee, also urged countries not to withdraw fiscal and monetary policy measures prematurely. This is coming from our U.S. Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. Does this tell you how bad it really is? Please don't withdraw fiscal and monetary policy measures prematurely. Please. So, again, it's a sign. What they know is coming down the pike. There's a lot of uncertainty out there, but they know. They know exactly.
Of course they do.
So again, it's more signs of all these nations that are in debt, too great to be repaid. They have, Butch.
Well, you know, Melody, you've been saying these things for years. We've all been saying that, warning that eventually this will have to collapse. It's going to collapse on itself. They can't keep it going. We know that. And that's going to cause a lot more violence in the streets when this does collapse, because people that are used to getting their handouts, and that dries up, or they get them and they can't buy anything because there's nothing to buy. There's going to be, if you think people are upset now, wait till this happens. And it's going to happen. It's happened in every country in history that's went to a fiat currency and lost its moral compass. Every nation that's done that has destroyed itself. Now, that is a fact. So America is no different. We think we are. Israel thought they were too in the Old Testament. But they're not. We're not immune to the judgment upon our stupidity and the sin of unjust weights and measures like fiat currencies and an immoral society. And I hear music playing already.
You do?
I do.
I do not. So we'll be right back. I'll take your word for it, Butch. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And let's see. What else?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going to come down. I think I need to share this one article. I mean, it's not pleasant to hear, but it's still things are being discussed by well-known people. Shut down D.C. plans election uprisings, resistance, and mass direct action should Trump be declared the winner of 2020 presidential election. This is out of All News Pipeline. One would think with the pandemic, the projections of election night chaos as a result of an unprecedented and inordinate amount of mail-in votes, which has already been deemed too much to count by the end of a election night, that folks would just want the night over with and the final result announced as soon as possible in order to get back to the normal left against right attacks and rioting. One would be wrong to think that as we now see groups are preparing for election night protests, uprisings, resistance, and mass direct action, with others forming community watch groups, others are working on conflict de-escalation, and still others are purchasing guns to protect against any violent rioters and protesters. For Americans like financial advisor David Powell, the greatest worry is that they could be forced to take sides to protect civil rights, private property, and even lives. I'm not part of any group, don't want to be part of a group. I'm your regular guy who is watching the news and is getting very, really concerned, said Powell, 64, Raleigh, North Carolina. He said he worries about Antifa thugs, a term U.S. conservatives use to describe left-wing anti-fascist activists. He said he's prepared to stand guard in his community if necessary. And folks, right here in our state of West Virginia, that's happening. People are grouping up in their counties to protect their homes. Not all of those preparing for violence are planning to commit violence themselves unless they need self-defense or defense of others caught up in the chaos. Others claim they want non-violent revolution, at least publicly, yet are calling for actions that do not sound at all peaceful. And given the recent history of groups calling for direct action, starting riots, burning buildings, looting, toppling statues, and more, we tend to trust their actions far more than their words and claims. I know we're going from there, but in Portland and Oregon, I mean, that's been a hard hit. By, I mean, they tore down a statue of Abraham Lincoln, tore down a statue of Theodore Roosevelt. They ransacked the Oregon Historical Society, destroyed property in there because they didn't like the idea of white colonialists in this country. And, of course, Roosevelt and Lincoln were considered part of that. They attached the Sovereign Hotel building depicting Lewis and Clark expedition. They spattered red paint all over it. These people are not trying to fix society. They're trying to tear society down. And that's what you're doing. They're doing it. And if it gets worse after election, well, if it is, I think it will. We're ready. I mean, we're ready as far as we can get ready. And here in West Virginia and in Colorado, there's what they call Fortitude Ranches. They are doomsday camps set to activate due to risk of election violence. This is right here in West Virginia also, folks. Reuters reports Fortitude Ranch doomsday camps in West Virginia and Colorado will open both facilities to members on Election Day because of threat of social unrest. Fortitude Ranch October newsletter suggested looting and violence across the major U.S. metro areas, similar to what has been over the summer following police killings of George Floyd, could follow the elections next month. The newsletter warned that social instabilities could transform into long-term issues. Now, folks, that will affect you financially, needless to say. That's going to hurt big time. Because if the supply line will be broken, and when the cities are burning and people are rioting, you can't get supplies in the stores. Why should the stores open? It's to be just torn down. This is coming real soon. And Arizona, Arizona ammo maker, is facing back orders worth $80 million amid unprecedented surge in demand. And folks, I know for a fact that ammo is getting hard to find. Arizona-based Bullet Maker Ammo Incorporated is facing a backlog of orders amounting to $80 million amid a sudden surge in demand for ammunition. The company has initiated 24/7 operations in both its Payson, Arizona, and Manitowoc, Wisconsin manufacturing plants, and has recently bought machinery and equipment worth $2.8 million to increase production and volume, CEO Fred Vandenhall said. And another article said, Insight U.S. gun sales soar amid pandemic, social unrest, and election fears. It's out of Reuters. Adria Garland, a 44-year-old single mother of three daughters, bought a shotgun in May for protection in a quaint middle-class town of Fishkill, New York. She joined a new and fast-growing local gun club to learn how to shoot. She has since applied for a pistol permit and constantly hunts for increasingly scarce ammunition, making three trips a week to local Walmart. They're always out, she said. Like legions of other first-time buyers who are contributing to record sales for the U.S. gun industry this year, Garland's decision to take up arms is driven in part by disturbing news about the coronavirus pandemic, social unrest over police killings of black people, and a potentially contested election that many fear could spark violence. With everything going on around us, she said, you see a need. Amelia, I love when people buy guns. I think it's a great idea. But when you got to buy it and they're buying out of fear, that's kind of scary.
I understand there's a lot of things that are going on, too. But you know what? There's a lot of fear being created, too, that might not be necessary.
Well,
Pardon?
I hope that's true. I do.
It's probably a combination of some. And, you know, I guess it depends on what you read and where you read it and so forth. I've seen this for 25 years. Do you know how many red alerts that I've talked people down because they've gotten so upset and concerned with what was, you know, supposedly going to happen and, you know, it never did. But in the meantime, you have other crazy things. There's a lot of unstable people in this world.
That's the point. And some of them are directly threatening lives on the internet. They're actually wanting to kill people. I mean, talking about Gates and Zuckerberg. They're actually talking about killing those people. And they're still out in the streets talking and talking about doing these things. This is actually on live video. So to say those things and nobody challenge them, that's kind of scary.
What is? It is. But, a lot of those, you know, folks out there get, stirred up. I definitely think that, we can, there's all reasons that we can have social unrest. And, but we pinpointed to the election. I don't know how this election is going to turn out. I really don't.
No.
It's being fed from the top.
Oh yeah,
this is all being fed from the top.
All sources.
And,
yes, you're right.
You know, my question is: I get that there can be voter fraud. I get that. I understand that. But my question is, Butch. Is if you lose because of voter fraud, election fraud, whatever you want to call it, well, what happens when you win? Oh, okay, so that doesn't, none of that applies then. It only applies if you lose. That's how I look at things, too. We look at it, and I get it. I understand. But, you just can't wipe away voter fraud if your team wins.
That's true. Well, there's been voter fraud longer than you and I've been alive.
Well, of course.
It's just increasing because it's getting easier, I suppose, in a lot of ways. With computers and now mail-in ballots, it's definitely getting easier. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that was just the point I was just trying to make. But so I believe people need to settle down. I think people need to... You know.
Well, after the Trump's elected the first time, we saw a lot of reaction to that. women standing in the streets screaming, women standing in public buildings with dresses on, pulling them up with no panties on, mocking Trump, all kinds of things happening when he's elected the first time. And I'm not picking on Trump. I'm not. That's not my. He made a lot of people angry just because he got elected. This time, the buildup in the last 4 years has been tremendously more than it was in running against Hillary Clinton the first time. The rhetoric has escalated at least 200% to what it was over 2016. So I think people, as you said, have been primed to go off if he wins, and maybe if he doesn't win. But I see a lot more rhetoric and actual threats coming out. I'm not at liberty to tell you who this is. I will soon. A friend of mine who's a sheriff out of state knows some of the guys that were involved in supposedly wanting to kidnap the governor of some states. And just because he knew him, he's under investigation. They even tapped his phone for the last 6 months. They sequestering his phone records the last 6 months. And all he did was know the people. So there's a lot of things happening that I think are pointing to something bigger this time. I pray with all my heart.
Yeah, but that happened when Oklahoma City happened. Because we wrote an article for some, it was I think it was. I can't remember who the article. It was a monetary article about your dollar going to nothing, and it was in because all of those from Oklahoma City. I think it was Oklahoma City was from Michigan, or some of the people involved were from Michigan and so forth. Yeah, the FBI came knocking on our door.
I've been there, done that. Yes.
You know, so it's not nothing new.
No, it's just escalating.
Right or wrong? Yeah, I don't believe it's right.
It's just been escalated so much more this time. Back, I was called before a federal grand jury for calling a federal witness on the air what he really was, a low-down scum-sucking dog. They tried to put me in jail for that, and I said, and I have to go before a federal grand jury. And some of the grand jurors, after I was through with the hearing, we all went to the bathroom, and four or five of them said, "Way to go, Pastor Butch." They knew me, so I wasn't too worried about that one. But I was been visited by the FBI three times because somebody stole fertilizer.
So here we are today, and it's you know, so you know, people need to calm down and let's get to the election first instead of. And anybody who I believe, and that's why I don't like to bring it up on this program, I believe it's important to. I believe it's important to report, but I don't want to report on it on a daily basis and so forth because, you know, I don't want to be a part. I just want to be a part of people being aware. I don't want to be a part
that's the point.
Stirring up the BS in order to, you know, take it at the step. And you know what? I knew all my life someday I would be involved in some sort of a revolution. Is that some kind of a, you know, message from... No. I don't know why. I just knew. Well, yeah, one day, we're heading in that direction. But I'm not going to... I don't want to report or talk... that it's going to be this election and everybody we need to calm down, we need to be and be prepared.
Well, the point of it is to bring this up
is being people, prepared.
That's the exact word. That's why we bring it up. It's not necessarily to scare somebody, it's get them prepared financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, because we're sitting on a powder keg. It's going to blow one day. You just said it. A revolution is going to happen in your lifetime. It's going to happen one day. We need to make sure that we're prepared.
And here I am. And here I am.
Yep.
Doing what I'm doing.
Yep. So you're still trying to tell people to prepare. And
it's all about preparing.
It is preparing. That's the only reason I show these things in church and Bible study. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm telling you these are signs of the times. Prepare yourself. You know, prepare yourself. If you live 20 more years and this doesn't happen, and your children inherit your place and inherit some preparedness that you did, I don't think it'll break their heart. To find that you had a little bit of gold and silver put back, I don't think it'll break their heart at all. Find that you were out of debt and you owned everything, that's not going to break their heart. They'll be glad that mom and dad had enough sense to do that. So it's preparation, folks. It's common sense preparation for what could be coming in this country or the world.
All right. So what else is? Let's move on.
Okay. United Airlines hunkers down for long air travel drought. You know, I knew they got hit hard, but I didn't know how much. Airlines said has said its strategy will help it preserve cash for an eventual rebound. Chicago-based United on Wednesday reported a loss of $1.8 billion compared to $1 billion profit during the same period a year ago. United's sales fell 78%. Almost 80% of the business is out the window. How long can they sustain that? And does it make you wonder, too, not, I shouldn't even think this, it's probably just me, but when they can't afford to pay anybody, how do they fix their planes? I know it sounds paranoid.
I know.
You know? Makes me nervous.
I said that a long time ago, yeah.
But 78% hit in earnings is a lot, Millie. That's huge. Almost 80% of what they made last year is gone. That's a lot of loss in a year's time. If they start recouping right now, it's going to take a long time to build that back, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? That was the segment that I saw on, I can't remember what program it was, but they were interviewing in the airport. They were interviewing the shops and how devastated all of these shops that are in your airports, how they're just all closed. There was one company, I think it was Hudson and the Hudson Group. It's one of the largest travel retailers. They're in all, they owned like 1,000 businesses and airports and so forth. They're like down to like 400.
Yep. Yep, that's a fact.
Unbelievable.
When we flew to Mexico in July, we were kind of hard pushed to find something to eat in between flights as far as walking down the corridors. Used to be restaurants everywhere. No, it's not that way any longer. It wasn't then. So, yep, you're right. They're out of business because there's no profit there. People aren't traveling.
And I just pulled it up to the Hudson. I believe it's the same one. Again, one of the largest travel. I don't know if they had 1,000 in the airports, but they have specialty retail cafes and things like that. In transportation terminals, not maybe just in airports. But that was a company that was started back in 1918.
Wow.
And they're struggling to stay alive. So
1918. Wow.
And it's that time. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today.
today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And, what a crazy, crazy world we're in.
It's a mad, mad world. Remember that cartoon?
It's a mad, 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 mad world. Yep.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
I wonder if they had some sort of song, opening song, that the trailer song or...
Well, there was a song, It's a Mad World. I don't know who sung it. That was the title of It's a Mad World.
There you go. There's your challenge, Todd, to our producer.
Yeah, find the song, It's a Mad World, Todd. But, and really, I mean, there was a song. I don't remember who sung it at all. It's been a long time ago. I didn't care much for the song, but I remember the song being out there. So, what else on your mind today?
On my mind?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Well, we pretty much hit, I don't know.
Well, I got
nightmare stock valuations driven by young, dumb investors. That's coming from a fund manager. You know. But
young, dumb investors.
Young, dumb. At present, investors are paying 22 times forward earnings to purchase stocks on the S&P 500, 50% higher than the 10-year average valuation across the index. And so I guess U.S. equity valuations have become a total nightmare, fueled by young and dumb investors. This is according to Cole Schmid. He's the president portfolio manager at Schmid Capital Management. At present, investors are paying 22 times forward earnings. The forward price to earnings, the P.E. ratio, divides the current share price of a company by its estimated future earnings per share. So much of the market rally, which took the U.S. benchmark from correction territory in March to an all-time high in August, was driven by tech mega stocks and a bullish options market. So there you have it.
Who was
fueled
it said that,
by the Federal Reserve?
Who was it said that a fool and his money soon parted? What was
Mark
that?
Twain?
Twain? No, I think it was
Benjamin Franklin.
Barnum Bailey.
That's who it was.
One of those guys. But this,
the
you know, this.
Let me just finish what else he says. The buying that went on in August and September is a 10-year phenomenon, the likes of which we have never seen. Among millennials and in the risk-taking among people that don't want to own bonds and want to own overpriced U.S. quality businesses, it is of record proportions. He was said that today, this morning on CNBC. He added the current valuations were an example of stock market failure, driven by millennials speculating in the stock market for the first time. Schmid projected that markets could be in for a nosedive, since despite its monetary policy shoring up credit markets, the Federal Reserve can't save a stock market. There are buying bullish call options that expire inside 2 weeks. There was $500 billion of bullish call options bought in four-week stretch by small retail traders. And a call option, of course, is a contract between the buyer and the seller of the call to exchange a security, in that case a stock, at an agreed price. And he suggests that the willingness of wealthy investors and the baby boomer generation to ride the index to a fault. All right. He says he talked about The overpayment for American businesses such as Costco and Microsoft was also detrimental. Microsoft could be a good company, but at 40 times earnings, there's a 0% chance of that producing wealth for someone over the next 10 years. Zero. Despite a sharp tech sell-off in early September, Microsoft shares remained 40% higher since the turn of the year, while fellow tech titans Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook, and Netflix, they've all been on a tear since March's crash. So there you have it. A hedge fund calming out and saying it's just a matter of time, and perhaps in a couple of weeks. So,
do you think these people are just, they think they're just dreamers hoping against hope? I mean, or do you think they really believe they're going to make money on this? I mean, that after watching the market, and of course it's going up, but seeing how fake it is, you think that people would have more sense in that? I would think. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, gamblers are gamblers, and this is
That's
what
true.
They're doing. And, you know, everybody thinks they're smarter than what they really are. And they rode this up thinking that they're pretty smart and that nothing can go wrong. So they just keep... It isn't any different than Bitcoin. You know, people put money in there thinking that it's going to ride up, you know, to the moon. It doesn't.
Yeah.
There's no fundamentals there. There's nothing pushing it up. Not when it's so overvalued. I mean, that's like paying, you know, $500,000 for a Ford Escort. Hey, it's overvalued. But people buy things. It's an emotional buy. People buy things when things go up.
That's true. They do.
And not when it's down. Not when it's... You're supposed to buy low, sell high. Nobody does it. So
it's almost like a pyramid scheme, basically.
Yeah. Because people aren't disciplined.
No, that's... I agree. I totally
agree.
They're
not disciplined. Everybody, no matter what investment you have, gold and silver is a little bit different. But your paper investments, you should have a strike price. And if it gets to that level, you sell. You take your money off the table. Then you put that into gold. You can keep playing the paper market. But don't expect something's going to continue to go up forever. You know, if you have some good, strong fundamentals on something, if it goes down, then you buy more. But, I mean, gold is a little bit different because it is, it's more money. It's a savings account. That's how you want to view. You don't want to trade your gold and silver. That's why financial planners hate gold and silver, because they can't trade you. That's why they created the ETFs, so they can sell you gold and silver and trade you. And people fall for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, gold and silver are always tangible. You got an ounce of silver, you have an ounce of silver. You got an ounce of gold, a piece of paper, you got a piece of paper. That's all you have. Gold and silver are real products that were produced, not printed, but worked for, manufactured, and produced. So there was something, if not for another reason, for the labor behind them to make them. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
You know, so that makes sense. But, you know, it's talking about, you said gambling. Las Vegas' largest casino cuts hours as COVID keeps customers at bay. Saying weak demand, Encore Wynn Las Vegas announced Tuesday is reducing operating hours, reported on 8 News now. 2,034 room, that's a big place. 2,034 room resort, the biggest casino on the strip, will be open Thursdays through Sundays only. It's just more evidence that the V-shaped recovery narrative for the gambling hub is faltering. Encore's new operating schedule will continue indefinitely until consumer demand for Las Vegas increases, Wynn announced Tuesday. This means hotel guests will be able to check in at 2 p.m. on Thursdays and check out around noon on Mondays. You know, when I went to New York a few months ago to do my cousin's funeral, up on the reservation there's a gambling casino that's run by the Indian tribe, and it was packed. I mean, when you drive by, there's always cars there. And I kind of wondered that. People are hurting for finances. I mean, we know people are out of money. But that place always had a lot of cars parked in front of it. And I don't know whether people actually had enough money to waste there or they're hoping to make money there. I don't know which, but I was just kind of amazed that people got to go in there and actually gamble with the money that they have earned, whenever a lot of them are having a hard time paying the bills. I just can't quite grasp that idea. To me, gambling is throwing away money, which is also a sin, by the way. But it's nonetheless, it is what it is. And to work hard for a dollar and lose it for nothing, especially when the dollars are scarce. So I thought it was kind of odd. I did.
When I lived in Arizona, I can't tell you how many times people would say, well, I'm going to Las Vegas, I'm going to triple my money. And then you get a phone call saying, well, can you send me some $20 so I can get home? Because I need money
absolutely.
For gas. Of course, $20 back then gave you gas, hotel, and everything.
And a meal.
But
today, I mean, the odds are stacked against you, folks, because the businesses can't afford to lose. Okay? And listen to this. U.S. Army wants to make COVID social distancing permanent even after the pandemic ends. So for the majority of Americans wondering when this socially distanced dystopian nightmare of 6 feet apart and wearing masks and mandatory hand sanitizer will finally be over, the Pentagon just given serious cause for concern. When will it all end? Perhaps leading the way as an example of where we all might be ahead as a country, the United States Army has strongly hinted that's looking to make its coronavirus protective measures permanent. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, the defense industry began adjusting its facilities to avoid major outbreaks that could shut down production lines for days or weeks at a time. Now that those changes are in place, U.S. Army's top acquisition official thinks they should remain in control and remain for good. So, no change coming to the Army, at least not they don't want it anyway. If you're waiting for things to get back to normal, I think you're waiting in vain.
Well, you know, maybe social distancing in the Army. You have a lot of women in there.
Okay. Well, in that end, I understand what you're saying. Make some lonely people, though. But anyway, all right. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi, one of Trump's mentally evaluated, right? You remember that?
They're all mentally incompetent.
But they're all insane.
They all have mental problems.
She wanted Trump, you know, check, make sure he's fit to be president because he didn't think he's mentally fit. Well, Representative Doug Collins introduced his resolution to remove Nancy Pelosi for lack of mental fitness. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi may get a taste of her own medicine after Republican Doug Collins introduced legislation to push for her removal as White House Speaker because she does not have the mental fitness to lead the House. So we won't go any further than that, but I just kind of cut this kind of tit for tat, maybe. You know, she's not adequate and is unable to adequately serve as Speaker of the House because she's mentally unstable. I can't say she's not. I can't say Trump's not, because all of them look a little insane to me sometimes. But so I don't know. But maybe it's just getting to know that, hey, the two can play the game, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Neither one of them had any real reason to do so. And, you know, to me, it's just a waste of time. You know, and this is what we pay them. That's what they're not there to do that. I would rather see them work in term limits.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So they wouldn't get to this age. And I don't think anybody should be in government over 70. And I know I have a lot of listeners. Well, you're over 70, aren't you?
Me, of course I am. I am.
So what's a good age that you should be in?
I don't know that age has a lot to do with it, as long as they're mentally able to do it. But my problem is when they get elected term, they should be limited. All offices should be limited to 2 terms maximum, period.
True,
all of them.
I agree.
Two terms maximum. And
they wouldn't be 80 then.
No, they wouldn't be.
They would be.
2 terms maximum, that should be there for all offices. When you get somebody in office that's been there for 20, 30, 40 years, They're no longer working for people. They're working for themselves. You look at it any way you want to. It's the way it is. But to show you how much profits in politics, in Montana, the Senate race there between the Democrat and Republican, Democrat Governor Steve Bullock and the Republican incumbent Steve Daines, has spent $118 million already.
What?
Yes. Absolutely. Political groups fighting for control of the U.S. Senate have poured more than $118 million into the contest between the Montana Democrat Governor Steve Bullock and Republican incumbent Steve Daines, a record-shattering figure for the sparsely populated state that dwarfs spending on a per-voted basis in all other states' battlefield states combined. I mean, to all the battlefield states. The cash deluge comes amid growing Republican worries that they would lose control of the chamber, and as Democrats seek to reverse a years-long GOP surge in Montana, including President Donald Trump winning the state by more than 20% in 2016. So they spent $108 $14 million for a Senate house, a Senate seat.
Wow.
Think about that, Melody. I don't, do they, is there enough money? Are they getting paid enough money to cover the $118 million? I mean, what's the incentive? Obviously, it's control. There's got to be profit in it or they won't be doing it. Am I telling the truth?
I agree.
So that should tell us something. Whenever that money's kind of spent to get an office, to get a seat, they're not expecting to put that money into and to not make some kind of profit back. Folks, yeah. Think about that. That means the politicians are for hire. That's exactly what it means.
It does.
That's really simple. And one more thing here. Muammar Gaddafi's cousin to sue Hillary Clinton for destroying Libya. I guess you saw that.
I did.
You know, so here we go, folks. Right on we go. Right on we go. And Turkey weapon sales to Azerbaijan has hit a huge surge. Almost $77 million last month alone. Turkey selling to Azerbaijan. And so the rhetoric is growing over there also. This is happening everywhere worldwide. Wars and rumors of wars. Actually, they're already fighting on borders in these countries. So it can erupt anywhere at any time. Just brace yourself, folks, and prepare yourself, please.
And he found the song, It's a Bad, Bad World.
He did.
We'll be back tomorrow.
The girls wear scanties, but on lamb chops they put panties. I'm telling you, it's a mad, 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 mad world. A Japanese named Louie says the Chinese hate chop suey. Without a doubt, it's a mad, mad,